Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's always darkest before the dawn, and it's always the dark world before it's Ragnarok. Yeah. What's up, and welcome back to Kinda Funny's MCU In Review Rewatch. I'm Tim Geddes, and I'm joined by the big daddy himself, Greg Miller.
Hello, Tim.
The producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Top of the morning to you, Tim.
And you don't see him, but you will hear him, the one and only Nitro Rifle Andy Cortez.
I'm in the background. I'm in your thoughts.
Yes, you definitely are. Andy's running the show today, so it's going to be one of those fun ones where anything can happen or nothing can happen. We're just going to have to see how it all goes. This might not all have no audio. It might be doubled up audio. It might be tripled up. Who the hell knows? We're having fun today. Andy is going to crush it. I totally believe it. I feel it. How are you feeling, Andy?
I'm feeling a lot better once I figured out all the audio issues. I'm trying to get Nick balanced with you all, but I feel like he's really quiet.
He's a quiet
appreciated boy. As soon as we got going, Andy just went, oof. immediately having to edit something, I was like, oh god, here we go.
Oh no, that was Tim's intro. Tim warned us about the intro, and okay. I'm glad that he kind of pre-warned us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. I thought about I was driving home and I was like, oh, I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna say it.
Great.
I'm gonna start
great.
The show with it. Yeah, and then I did it. It was all this is kind of funny's in review where we rank, review, and recap different movies, and sometimes we rewatch them leading into the new sequel. That's exactly what we're doing right here with Kind of Funny's Thor. In review, where we're rewatching all of the Thor movies leading into Thor, Love and Thunder in just a few short weeks. If you're watching this live as we record it on Patreon, where you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to do that, just like our Patreon producers, Molecule, Fargo Brady, and Gordon McGuire are. Tomorrow, our homie Anthony Carboni is actually hosting the red carpet for Thor, Love and Thunder. You can check that out on marvel.com/Thor premiere, I think it is. And he's been telling me about his outfit, and I cannot wait to see it and for everyone else to see it. We're also taking bets on whether or not the red carpet will in fact be red. I hope that it's not, but we'll have to wait and see to find out. You can get on youtube.com/kindoffunny. You can get this on roosterteeth.com. If you want to get it as a podcast, search your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny in Review, and we'll be right there for you. If there's a movie franchise you love or hate, chances are we have already talked about it. You can check it out on this beautiful show, Kind of Funny, in review. Today, we're brought to you by Shopify and Athletic Greens, but I'll talk about that later. Let's get right into it. Thor, The Dark World, released on November 8th, 2013. And that kind of got me thinking. It was a simpler time back then, right? Almost a decade ago at this point, which is nuts to think about. But nowadays, we're getting 4 or 5 movies a year, 5, 6 shows a year in the MCU. But I want to look back at the cadence of releases in the early days, because we had that beautiful moment in 2008 where in May and June, we got back-to-back Iron Man and then Incredible Hulk. We then had a 2-year break until Iron Man 2 in 2010. Then we got 2 in 2011 with Thor 1 and Captain America, May and July. Then we didn't get Avengers for a whole year after that in 2012. Then a year later, we got Iron Man 3. And then we got this, and that kind of kicked off what has become the more normal cadence now of like, we have so many things back to back to back to back to back. And even then we're hitting like 3-4 a year. But I think that is important to keep in mind as we talk about this movie, because I think all of us can agree that not only is this a low point for the MCU as a movie, I also think just in terms of hype and momentum, this was probably the lowest the MCU has ever been, because there was that year plus gap of just like, we got Iron Man 3, and then we got Dark World. You know, the hype leading into Avengers had kind of went away.
This could have been an animated thing that kind of took place on Disney Plus. Like, here's what happened in between these movies. And it definitely felt like a weird kind of offshoot. And even in the movie, when they mention, you know, Loki says, I wanted to go rule Midgard. I was like, oh, yeah, this is after Avengers. Right. I forgot.
Right. She has that one line where she's like, but you were in New York. And he's like, it was, you know, different time.
This is
what could I just randomly pop over.
Well, we'll talk about it and probably beat the horse to death and then revive it and kill it again. But to your point, Tim, like, I think this is like the dark universe of what the MCU could have been and how it could have failed if it was going to just be cool. It's another Thor movie. Well, who's Thor? Well, he's a good god. He's out there trying to do the good. He's trying to unite the realms. He wants to be king of Asgard. All right. And then you just get superhero movie after superhero movie like that until people stop going. And it's and that's what I feel like watching Thor: The Dark World again. Like, yes, it is bottom tier. Yes, it is. You know, we of course put it all the way at the bottom of the MCU in review when we did it originally, and then, you know, that was a joke, and we put movies all around it that were also not great, even though there's not that many. But the problem with it is, like, it's not that it's terrible. It's not like it's a horrible movie. It's just the fact that it's not interesting. It's uninspired. And I think also, especially coming back to watch it now as we get closer to Love and Thunder, right, and having seen so much Thor and seen so much Loki and seen, I mean, even a little bit more, not more Jane Foster, but more of Eric and Darcy and everything else. Like, it's, you watch this and you're like, ah, the fucking potential is there. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Tom Hiddleston still fucking kills as Loki in what they give him. And, like, Hemsworth looks great. And, like, all right. But it's like, when he's trying to be serious Thor, you're like, this fucking sucks. Like, I want comedy Thor, which you know you're about to get.
Yeah. Just run through the rest of the rigmarole real quick. We got the runtime, 1 hour, 52 minutes. Definitely did not feel that way. Felt a lot longer. Directed by Alan Taylor. Nick, are you familiar with him? From anything?
I'm not.
He's mainly known for directing Terminator Genesis, the movie side of things, but he is best known for his TV work and has actually won a bunch of awards for things like Game of Thrones episodes and Boardwalk Empire, Mad Men, Sopranos, things like that. So pretty good. Lost, West Wing. Music for this one was done by Brian Tyler, who is the same guy that does most of the Fast and Furious soundtracks. And he brought back some of the original Thor themes, but then, like, really kind of made what now is the Thor theme in the MCU that I forget the guy's name, Mothersbaugh or whatever, from Ragnarok, the Rugrats composer. Yeah, Mark. Mark something or other.
Yeah, Mark Mothersbaugh. Yeah, he's the one who does the Rugrats. Yeah.
It's badass. But anyways, it's interesting because this is one of the last movies to use the old school Marvel Studios intro before we get the actual movie footage and stuff. And that theme was done by Brian Tyler as well.
Oh, okay.
This one had a budget of $170 million and a box office of $644 million. Quite a sizable increase from the first Thor movie. But a big drop off from the Avengers movie. But that makes sense. Anyways, Greg, you already gave your thoughts. Do you have more thoughts to give?
That's pretty much the general. I mean, before we get into the blow by blow of it, it's just like, it's definitely the I'm not mad, I'm disappointed. You're disappointed. And I think I remember leaving the theater and not loving Dark World and immediately forgetting it. But then going back and watching it, it is that disappointment of like, man, this could have been something if they not tried, but this could have been something. And then also, thank God this wasn't the blueprint for MCU from here on out. I'll just make a sequel and just make it pretty much the same, do the thing.
Nick, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there in line with Greg. The thing that I remember thinking when I walked out of the theater was, wow, okay, that's it for the MCU, right? This was one of those movies where I'm like, if this is going to be the direction they are, this is just so blah. It's so cliche in so many ways. It's like you let a computer analyze a few movies and then write the dialogue for this. The scene between him, any scenes between him and Loki, they just fall so flat in this movie. And I think it's just the concept of what they thought Thor was going to be. That's the problem with this movie. We didn't know what Thor should be until we get to Ragnarok. And I think Chris Hemsworth even has talked about that, where he's like, I didn't really find the character until he worked with Taika and realized that Thor should be a really, really, like, he should be a goofball, right? He's one of the most powerful Avengers, if not the most powerful Avenger, according to him. But he should be sort of out of touch, but also, like, incredibly endearing at the same time. And it's just way, and you get moments of that. You get moments of that charm in the first one. But it's like, and this happens a lot with sequels. It's like the director didn't watch the first one and wants to push it, like, close, like, into the, oh, let's make it darker. But they lose the charm of the character in this. But like, if you see where Thor is at the end of that one versus where he starts at this one, it's like eons have gone by and he's just been beaten down by the burden of leadership. But it really hasn't. It's only been, what, 2 years or 2 months or something like that? I forget how much time passed between between the first Thor and this one. She says it in the movie, but I don't know. I want to say it's,
I don't remember.
But yeah, it's just the movie is just bogged down by how seriously it takes itself. And then, you know, we talk about this a lot, but let's look at the threat factor in this movie, right? He kind of glosses over this, but he's like, he's going to destroy the known universe. Did anyone feel that in this movie? Did you care that this guy is going to do that? As opposed to when Thor, takes fucking Stormbringer. I welcome it. But, you know, as opposed to like an Infinity War where Thor lands, it just puts Stormbreaker right through Thanos' heart. And you're like, oh, he did. Like, you get that excitement of like, he stopped him, but he didn't stop him, right? Thanos ends up destroying half the known universe as it is. And it has so much more weight in that movie because we actually like give a shit about Thanos. He's actually a compelling bad guy. And in this one, Malekith is just, it's just so generic across the board. Mm-hmm. And I think the actor that played him is he one of the Doctor Who's or no? I can't remember.
Yeah.
At some point.
That sounds right. Yeah.
It also might just
be British.
A gross generalization. Anytime I see a British dude, I'm like, he was probably a Doctor Who at some point. That guy's not a bad actor. I've seen him other stuff. They just gave him nothing to do. Same with Jane. All she does most of the time is run around. That's it. And like, look at a little, Steam Deck. So it's like, it's just very, very weird that they just chose to do all that. And then the things they have Thor doing are kind of boring as well. So yeah, the movie just overall is just a complete and total miss. And thank God it was a miss, because they were like, we got to figure something else out. We got to throw some curveballs at this and try something wild. And now we got Love and Thunder to look forward to, which is cool.
Christopher Eccleston was the ninth Doctor Who and was Malekith in this. Mm-hmm. So you nailed it, Nick. Andy, what did you think on this rewatch?
I think that I dislike the movie less and less the more I watch it. I think the problem with it, though, is that it is just, it's boring. It does not have a whole lot going for it. It, again, feels kind of just like a side offshoot of like, hey, you wanted more Adventures of Thor. Here's what was happening in between those two Avengers movies or whatever. It just doesn't feel like there's anything, a whole lot of value in this movie. And I think the Loki show is the only thing that kind of makes this movie worth seeing, at least to kind of see those interactions between Loki and Frigga and see the moments where he loses it. Cause I think those moments are pretty impactful with Loki. I like seeing him just really full of regret and sadness. Cause that's just a side of Loki we don't get to see often. And when he's kind of putting on that show and Thor is like, no more tricks, Loki. And then he shows his real self and he's against the wall, just an absolute mess. I think those moments are really great and wasted in this movie. I don't think this movie does a whole lot wrong. It's just it's blah. It's what Nick was saying. It's just all the way through. I didn't even feel the length of this movie this time. I felt like it just, for some reason, it didn't feel like a slog for me. But it's just, it's just very boring, and I did not feel the weight at all of any of the threat in the world. Like, that was such a great point. Like, I at no point thought that anything was really at risk in this movie.
I mean, you nailed it, right? Loki is the most interesting aspect of this. And for rightfully so, right? Because he's the only one that's actually relatively conflicted in this. Does Thor have any, like, is Thor at the end of this movie any different than he is at the beginning of this movie? And the answer is really no, not really, right? Because Thor is sort of like, I know what it takes to be king, and I don't really, you know, I don't know if I have it. I don't know. And then the end of it, he's like, I don't really have it. And you're like, oh, okay. Well, he didn't move too much as a character. Whereas Loki, I think, is just a more compelling character in general because he's conflicted, right? He kind of has a messed up upbringing. He loves his mom, hates his dad. Maybe loves his dad. Probably not, though.
No.
I think that's why the Loki show was so interesting. And that's also why Ragnarok, and future spoilers, gets interesting too, because they managed to find another spot for Thor to be in where you do have those moments of conflict, right? He doesn't know how to save Asgard. And the way he saves Asgard is tough. It's a sacrifice. And that's a lot more compelling to watch than Thor, who's just like, I'm good and I'm altruistic and I know what I'm doing. And it's like, well, what do you got to learn? Nothing much, man. Just how to. But in this one, sometimes I'm sleeveless. And you're like, well, I give you that, Thor. I do give you that.
Sometimes I wear a little cloak. I am really bummed that I'm like somehow lower on this than I was before. Like rewatching Thor last week got me kind of like jazzed, where I was like, I've always been cool with Thor 1, but it being as low as it is on our ranking.
What
like,
a statement.
Because I know a lot of people hate it. A lot of people like act like it's like trash tier. And I've always been like, hey, it's not that bad. Like it has some good stuff. It has some weird Dutch angles and things, but like it's overall
a lot of weird Dutch angles.
It's a good movie. It's not a bad movie. And when we look at our ridiculous 34 plus whatever rank list of the shows and the movies, like when we start getting towards the bottom, like I had this feeling towards like, oh, that's the bottom tier. And like watching this movie, I'm like, Thor Dark World stands alone. Like it is. And I'm with Andy to the point where it's like, it's not the worst movie ever made. Like it is. I don't think it does anything like absolutely wrong. It's just very boring. It is very blah. And compared to any of the heart and magic that literally every other project on this has at least elements of, I think this one really lacks. And going back to phase one, phase two movies with the knowledge of phase three and four usually kind of enhances them. And we always praise Endgame for finding some good from the moments of Dark World. Sure. And I am surprised that I actually think that the knowledge we have makes this an even weaker movie. Like the entire MacGuffin being the ether that's actually the reality stone is so ridiculously convoluted. And even when I know it, and even like watching it, understanding that, is it not just the gravity stone? Because that's what it feels like it actually is. Like, at least in Doctor Strange, there's the time stone. We all knew it was going to be the time stone, but he's using it the whole movie and it's doing time things. So then when it's revealed, it's the time stone. You're like, cool, that makes sense. In this, it's like, this is them setting up the whole Infinity Stone situation, right? Because like, Nick, you bring up Infinity War. It's like, it's funny that we look back as if, oh man, all these movies led to this. It's like, really, a lot of, there was just a smattering of random references to the stones before Infinity War, right? Guardians tried to tie it together a little bit more. They specifically had the Power Stone. Strange specifically had the Time Stone. This was like, besides the Tesseract, that always felt like a vague kind of reference, and the Mind Stone was in Loki's scepter. Like, some of it felt like they retconned to get where they needed to go. You know what I mean? Absolutely. Just like plot-wise. And I feel like they didn't need to do that. When the entire plot of this movie, when you look at it, you're like, oh, it was to deal with the Reality Stone. But every single thing they do with the stone, with the powers, just is very weird, and it's not at all backed up by this, by these fucks from Thor 2 being the bottom of our Ragu Bagu. And it's like, yo, they deserve that, because 90% of the movie, you don't understand what they're doing. And they're speaking in a different language and saying the most bizarre lines of dialogue. And like, their ships are weird. And like, everything that's supposed to be cool about what they're doing is not cool, with one exception. And that is their fucking gravity bombs, which are the dopest goddamn things in the world. Like, the things I like about this movie, gravity bombs. I like, overall, I would say I like Loki. I think that there is a lot of shit that Nick's talking about of like, it, they don't nail a lot of the moments, but there's enough moments like what Andy's talking about him putting down the illusion. I loved that. The end of this movie, I think, is fucking rad, of him taking over Odin and just sitting on the throne, and him like mocking Captain America and all that stuff. Like, those are genuinely great moments with the Loki side of things. But otherwise, the one thing that I'd like about this movie is I like the weight that they give to Thor. Every jump he does, everything he does with his hammer, anytime it comes back to his hand, there's like just like a weight to it all, that you believe that he's a god and he's not just an actor. He's not a human next to people. And it's something that I haven't noticed in Thor 1 or even remember that much from the future movies. So they did that, but otherwise I really don't have much nice things to say about this. And it, I feel like it lessened a lot of the things I liked about the first movie. The chemistry at moments is there between Natalie Portman and Chris Hemsworth, but nothing compared to the first one. And Darcy, who I love as a character, more often than not in this one annoys me. And I don't think it's her fault. I think it's like what they made a mistake of making her be a comic relief character and then giving her an intern that's also a comic relief character. And then constantly having, anytime she has a joke, there's another joke in the scene happening. And it's like, there's just too much that now it's not funny. If she was like the odd man out, I think it would have worked a lot better. But for some reason, they insisted on having her surrounded by funny things, including like Eric Selvig like running around naked and stuff. It's like, there's just too much
and
shit.
The intern and
you have to you have to be very careful when you have a character who's so comic relief that they're pointing to all the ridiculousness in the world and almost like breaking the fourth wall. And they do a very more often than not they do a great Marvel where they're like, this is a completely ridiculous moment that that's happening. Let's call attention to it. But you have to be very subtle about that. And your movie has to be good. If your movie is not good, that character pointing out to the audience how stupid the situation is has a different meaning to it altogether. And I like Darcy in this. I think she's the like one of the most, I guess the only redeeming part for most of the scenes because she's fun at least. Everything else is so bogged down. Like Natalie Portman, they give her nothing fun to say, nothing fun to do. And she's just playing it straight the entire time. And then she spends a good portion of the movie kind of passed out. Or slapping people, right? Like at this point, there's a moment in the movie where she meets Thor's dad and Thor's mom, and she says something like Thor goes, or Odin goes, like, "Oh, I know who you are, Jane Foster." She goes, "You told your dad about me?" And it was like, that's the vibe they should have been having the entire time, but that's like the only endearing part, right?
I mean, that's, well, same for like when you know, she meets Freya for the first time, and he introduces her as mother, and she like tenses up and stuff. Like, there's little character moments, and same thing with like the quantum field generator. I always like that segment where the Asgardians who does it do whatever the fuck a quantum quantum field generator. That's good. And but so, all those are like these tiny little shiny moments in this just murky movie.
One thing that I thought was fun to think about is the context of now having the Loki show with this, where this Loki we see in Dark World is the beginning of a different Loki than the one that we get in the show, because he gets the Loki we get in the show is him getting space stoned out from the Avengers movie. Right. So like, we never even get him in the handcuffs back to Asgard. I just thought that was just kind of a fun framing to look at this and be like, oh wow. So much happens that are now living Loki in the universe. Only knows because he watched the movie, right? Like Frigga dying and all that stuff. It's like, that didn't happen to the Loki, you guys get what I'm saying, but I thought that was like it was just kind of fun to be like, oh wow, like the breakoff point happened a lot earlier than I really kind of gave credit to in thinking of where we are storyline wise. Because like thinking about the novelty of Loki pretending to be Captain America in this, it was like, that was a big moment. And it's like, now that's just like, oh, that's just kind of an expected. Every movie's gonna have five of those, you know.
Greg, so, what's going on? You chilly or what's going on?
I am chilly, yeah. It's
awesome. Must be now, nice.
Can I ask? I have so many questions. Is this a robe or is this a house sweater?
This is a robe.
Okay.
It was brought up earlier today, Nick, that Watto made an appearance on screencast. Mm-hmm. And when Watto had made an appearance on Akeem's Daily a while back, a lot of people had pointed out that Watto was kind of phoning it in because this is Greg's background and Greg's shirt. So I made sure to grab a bathrobe to be covered up. And then I did a little green screen effect for Watto to have himself in the bathroom. But then I was cold and I looked over and I have a couple sweatshirts piled up. Mm-hmm. But then I saw the robe and I was like, the robe is quite comfortable. So I wanted
to was the robe indicative of Watto's original Jedi outfit that you wore?
Correct. That is correct. Okay, it was the closest I could do with that being at the studio.
I appreciate this.
I want to help Watto be the best Watto he can be.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Very nice.
Andy, do you have the ability to bring something up if it's just a picture? If it's not, it's all good. Yeah, but I do think it would be worth doing.
Okay, let's see.
But yeah, it was nice seeing Watto today, Greg. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm. I was happy to be able to make it. I looked at the calendar earlier. I was hoping to be able to coordinate a Watto appearance for you. I saw how early it was, and I was like, oof, I'm not going to do that. And then I got down here, and you guys were still going. I was like, here we go.
Can I ask a Kenobi spoiler? Is Watto in Kenobi?
No, that's why Watto was upset about it.
Yeah. Copy. Oh,
so I'll let you know a Kenobi spoiler. Okay, I haven't watched Kenobi yet, so I kind of went out on a limb that he wasn't there, but since my Twitter hadn't burned down, I think I got it.
I think it's a fairly safe assumption.
Don't worry. All these Star Wars projects, you're getting Watto somewhere.
Tim, what exactly am I looking for here? There's a lot of
I sent you a GIF. It's a GIF of Thor.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
You see that?
Gotcha. Yeah, sorry. Whatever you send me, it's like it looks like Tumblr. There's just a shitload of GIFs all over.
Got
the
it.
Screen.
My bad.
Here we go.
It's Greg. I thought he was doing the cosplay of Thor from Dark World.
That's pretty cool. I apologize. That's more of a drape. Right. That's more of a tablecloth. That's more of you're in a hurry to get out.
It is a shawl, some sort of.
Cloak. You were knocking boots, and somebody came home early. Yeah. Toss on the tablecloth. You're ready to get out of there.
Anyway,
a lot of tabs up in there.
All right. We're going to get to the plot and all of that fun stuff. But before we do that, let me tell you about our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Athletic Greens. I've been using AG1 the last few months because I figured it was well past time I start thinking about vitamins, but I'm usually not the biggest fan of their format. So being able to drink a flavored water is much more up my alley. And I'm a huge fan here of the fact that it doesn't taste super healthy. It kind of has like this mild tropical taste to it that I look forward to every morning. With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. It's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/kindoffunny. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/kindoffunny to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/kindoffunny. This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved only for big businesses to everyone. So upstarts, startups, established businesses, content creators alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. I love how Shopify has the tools and resources that make it easy for any business to succeed, from down the street to across the globe. Our content creator friends use Shopify to manage all their merch sales and stuff, and I recently got Gia a pair of Allbirds from the Allbirds website, which also uses Shopify. So that's an example of big websites using Shopify for their sales. You can gain insights as you grow with detailed reporting on conversion rates, profit margins, and to help you supercharge your knowledge of your sales and your success. You can go to shopify.com/kfgames, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial, and you can get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/kfgames right now. That's shopify.com/kfgames for a free 14-day trial. shopify.com/kfgames.
Anyway, Greg Miller, we got you. Let's do it.
He is a thunder from down under. This is the plot for Thor.
Oh yeah.
I'm stuck with it.
that was, you know what, Andy? Every bit worth it to get through that walk. Thor, the Dark World, but you're not Ragnarok. Not yet. Let's talk about Malekith, guys. Let's talk about the Dark Elves.
Let's talk about Keith Richards
here. And let me tell you one thing right now, guys. Don't fucking think that when I watched this movie at midnight last night and we got to King Boar, I wasn't like, should I write 2 pages of how fucking boring this is? And they had King Boar and all that jazz. Man. There's a dark. Who fucking cares? It's Dark Elves. It's all just random backstory to try to set up this bad guy that we just don't give a shit about. But back in the day, he fought the Asgardian warriors, and he makes these cool rage monsters by making them take this fucking pill. And I think maybe
steroids.
Yeah, I think maybe it's a fucking low key ape on steroids, but we're not quite sure. I wanted to
point out that this whole sequence really feels like one of the sequences in a more comedic version of the movie. Like, let's say you get this intro. Picture this, everybody. Close your eyes. Picture this. You're getting this intro. You're watching it. And then, not like screeching tires, but like almost like a visual screeching tires. The story stops and somebody's like, oh, wait, so what happened? And he's like, oh, see, the Dark Elves. Like, it feels like it's so
they're giving you that much exposition.
Yeah, yeah. This intro is so self-serious that at any moment I was waiting for it to be interrupted and for Korg to be telling the story or something like that. And then like something silly happened, similar to like in Shang-Chi when he's telling her the story on the plane and then the stewardess interrupts him. That's what it kind of reminds you of. This intro is like way too self-serious and way too dramatic and corny as all hell.
Yeah, and it doesn't have the visual stimulus that things like this need. Like the exposition in, I forget which movie it is, but one of the Harry Potters, one of the later ones where they're talking about the, was it the Deathly Hallows?
Yeah,
and like we start seeing the animated like versions where it's super stylistic and it's like, yo, it's a lot of heavy exposition. They're essentially telling you, hey, if you don't want to pay attention, just look at the pretty things, right? Yeah. And I feel like Ragnarok does that very well, where it's like so much of it is comedic, but then we get Valkyrie giving her backstory about how all the Valkyries died, right? We get that amazing, beautiful scene with the slow motion and like all, like such so painterly. And I feel like instead for this, it is just so paint by numbers. And it's like, even having Odin do the VO, it's like, Odin, that should be epic. That should be so cool and so exciting and so quotable in the same way we do the, but I'm not king, like all that stuff. And instead, it's just kind of like the most generic. It might as well be Optimus Prime talking about the who's he, what's it, and the freaking robot heaven and all that shit. It's like, get this out of here, man.
It does. It doesn't help that every time any movie has Anthony Hopkins do that exposition, it's convoluted at best.
They think he can carry it. They assume he's going to carry it.
Yeah, he's incredible. But also, when you, I mean, we skip through a lot of stuff here, but we get the gist, which is that Malekith, when the convergence happens, all the nine planets of the realm align, and that's when he can use the ether to fucking turn everything back into the upside down world.
He wants it dark again.
And I'll tell you what, guys, if there's ever someone that I've vibed with, it's Malekith. It's Keith Richards here. And I'll tell you why, because just show of hands, who hates daylight saving time?
I do, for exactly. sure. I'm raising fucking my hand.
Exactly, guys. And what he's really trying to say is, can we just get rid of it?
Why are we so worried about these farmers?
Exactly.
Oh, but it'll be dark when the kids come home from school or go to school. That's how it's already happening one way or that way.
You know, let them fucking fight. You know what I mean?
That's the other thing, too. Kids got to get tough out there.
Anyway,
King Am Lord I wrong? Harry. Have we not babied these children long enough? Maybe Ben does need to grow up being worried about the Grabbler.
I tell you what, right now, put him outside. See what happens. Just go out, put him outside.
Fair enough.
Okay. King Boar buries the ether deep in Minas Morgul, and the movie starts. Odin banishes Loki to prison and tells Thor to bring order to the Nine Realms, and then he'll be king. Also, Loki's wig is super fucking terrible in this. Lady Sif and the Warriors 3 are kind of shitting the bed, so Thor pops by, and his hair is just still bad in this. It looks better because it's his real hair, but the extensions don't go so well. Go ahead, Tim. You're fine. Then Nox rocks her out and wins the day. What's that, Greg?
You want to talk shit about Tim right now?
Can he hear us? Because there's no fun.
I don't know. Like, we talked about this. When I was over there that one day for content, like, when I went to the bathroom, I couldn't hear shit. But apparently when he leaves, he can hear it somehow.
He's got ears like a hawk.
Kevin wears the headphones that give him a 15-second delay.
Yeah.
So that every time he says anything, it startles himself. Where he's like, whoa. You know, but I don't think Tim's doing that. So I love how much Andy laughed at that because he knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, because when he talks, I can hear it's throwing me off.
Yeah,
it's just like stop, fucking stop.
It's playing into the computer.
Do like Thor's hair in this quite a bit. It reminds me a lot when we get that first shirtless scene. I get extreme Witcher vibes.
Okay.
He's shirtless. He's sweaty and wet, and he has the hair kind of like pulled back up top. It looks. It reminds me a lot of what's his face.
The Witcher, Superman.
Henry Cavill.
Yeah. Except that wig in The Witcher is absolutely—it's just an abomination. It looks like a fucking dead goat on his head.
Wait, okay. I'm coming into this late. What's our stance on Thor's hair?
It's bad.
It's just bad.
I think it's not that bad.
I think it's fine, but I don't think it's good.
It's not good. We'll just say it's not good. It's better. It's better than the fucking pillowcase they put on his hair in the last one. But I'm like, let him have short hair. You could tell that even the producer, the people that were in part of this, were like, by the time we got to Ragnarok, they're like, how do we just fucking cut his hair? How do we get that hair?
Like, he's like, let's just cut it. Who's going to cut it?
Exactly. I have a moment here. I was like, is that Zachary Levi playing Fendral? Why did they change this person, the actor out? Do we know this? Because it wasn't, that's not the same Fendral from Thor 1. They randomly just got Zachary Levi.
They knew he was going to have a big part in this and then get killed immediately in Ragnarok with like one line. So they were like, we really got to give that to Zach Levi.
Cool. I buy that. He reports back to Odin, who tells him he should be with Lady Sif instead of that Earth Lady. And this is the main conflict for Thor in this movie. His dad just doesn't like the girl that he's dating. He just doesn't approve of her. Why? Because she's an Earth girl and she's not going to live forever.
Hey, man, girls are easy. Lord of the Rings, dude. Like, you're going to marry this man, this mortal? Are you kidding me? You're an elf lady. Fucking what's your face? Steve from Aerosmith.
Mm-hmm. Steven Tyler.
Liv Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
Don't marry the Earth Man. Don't marry the mere mortal. Sure, he's got Numenorean blood, but he's gonna die a lot faster than you. I understand this sort of issue.
But remember, I mean, actually, you're joking around, obviously. We're not joking around. You're drawing a parallel. But real talk, though, and correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't by marrying him, didn't she give up her immortality to do that?
Yeah.
So in this one, he's just like, I'm just going to have like 30, 40 good years with Jane. And then I'll marry, you know, I was like, I'm going to be looking for it.
Exactly. I'm not giving anything up.
That's the big problem here, Pops.
You know, maybe Pops is like, hey, for my last years, though, I want to see you with... you know, not a human.
I don't want to see you with one of these humies.
These humies. Tim's had a confused look in his face for a while.
He's been hunting down the Zach Levi jokes since we said it.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure it out. Because so the screenrant.com is saying that, headline, Zachary Levi recalls exiting first Thor movie and returning in Dark World. But then the quote, this is the entire quote. Working on Thor was also a dream come true. I grew up devouring Marvel comic books. I was definitely a Marvel kid as a comic book reader. So it was cool. I was very grateful that I got to be part of that. I got to be in the Marvel universe and play a really kind of fun, interesting, different kind of character. And that ultimately Kenneth Branagh believed in me enough to cast me in the first one. That's very cool. I also didn't have that much to do, you know, and really nothing to do in the third one. I knew I was going to die in that one. I didn't know I was going to die having said nothing. Even a few words they gave me were going to be taken away. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a weird quote that doesn't back up the headline at all.
But was he Fendril in the first one?
No, it was a different dude.
That's Fendril. All right.
Different dude was Fendril. Yeah, different actor.
Yeah, Fendril was Josh Dallas.
It's me, Josh Dallas.
Josh Dallas.
Okay, don't worry. I didn't just make this up and write it in the hotel registry because I'm running from the cops. No, my name is Josh Dallas.
what a CIA fucking.
We got justjared.com with the update that he went to Levi Jared. Was cast, but he couldn't do it because of scheduling conflict with Chuck.
But you know, it sucks because look, I like Zachary Levi. I think he does a good job as Fendril. If I were him, I would have taken whatever spray paint that they were coming out my fucking head and goatee with, and I would have taken it and I would have just thrown it out and been like, "This is dumb. This does not look good." But I guess when you don't want to cause any waves on your first Marvel movie.
I mean, it's kind of wild that I feel like Thor was like, "Hey, don't do it to me." In part two, just do it to Zachary Levi. Do that.
It's like, get his ass. You know, it's like the hair and makeup person was like someone's sibling, and they were like, "Dad, this is all
I'm over my head. I don't know what I'm doing."
This was the one effect I figured out before I quit fucking wardrobe or makeup.
Blonde
school.
Facial hair.
Exactly. You gotta do it to someone. Anyway, it's really bad, but he's really good at this, and they don't give him much to do anyway. Anyway, he reports back. That to Odin, who tells him he should be. Thor's like, Odin says, "You got to be with Lady Sif. She's cool, and the Earth Lady is not working out for you." Then Thor gives himself a scrub down with his shirt off, just like me and Greg do from time to time. We look, I would say, probably Greg, when you and I are shirtless, 80% of this, 90% of this, close to this.
Accurate. It's accurate. Yeah,
fair enough. Were they born in labs? Now it's time to rank those abs. I can't play the sound effect because.
Everybody, we're back to those abs. I'm your host, Nick Scarpino, with my co-host, Andy Cortez. Andy, how you feeling today?
I'm feeling a lot better after seeing that wet-ass torso.
Damn, he was wet. I will say, though, I think he didn't get as big for this movie.
So you mean he was healthier overall?
Yeah, I think he... Okay, so let me preface this, because I know there's a lot of people out there who actually don't care. But I will say, for the two of you that do care, that are like, Nick, why, you know, like, relax on the whole body thing... He looked fan-fucking-tastic in this, and he looked healthy, and I'm sure a lot of work went into this. But in Thor 1, he's so fucking big, and he got that big again for Love and Thunder, so I'm just excited to see that. But yeah, he does look fantastic in this. He's just not as jacked. He's just doesn't have the fucking mass that he had in Thor.
At what point do you think that he rivals Hugh Jackman at his most jacked as Wolverine?
Oh, he's way bigger than Hugh Jackman was.
What about definition? Most jacked?
Dude, Hugh Jackman was like, the thing about Hugh Jackman, he put on a lot of mass, but he was really, really defined. His muscles were like, he was like, so he had less body fat. Yes. Whereas if you look at, if you picture beside like him with Chris Hemsworth from Thor 1, he just looks gargantuan. He's a beefcake, but he only has like 6 abs. Whereas Hugh Jackman has like every muscle is defined.
Looks like
by
an
the time
action.
We get to, what's the one where Apocalypse? Not Apocalypse. Days of Future Past. He looked when he stabs the waterbed. He's so cut in that. But I think that Hemsworth probably, if you were to measure biceps, I think Hemsworth might have him beat by an inch or two.
Oh my God. I was trying to find a picture and all I could find is three people next to each other. It's Chris Hemsworth. It is Daniel Craig and it's Hugh Jackman. It's Daniel Craig, you know, James Bond and Casino Royale coming out of the water. And just three of this is like the most Nick picture I've ever seen in my life.
It's you know what? It's they're so inspiring that I look at them and I go, I don't have to, I'm not going to try that.
Good for you.
Can't hit those top. You're out there. Try doing this.
Yeah.
Tim,
exactly. Yeah.
Do you remember at the end of the Wolverine when they deleted that scene and it was the brown and yellow costume? God, that was cool.
One day, Greg. One day.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah. When they get to Secret Wars or whatever here, that's our only hope.
That's our only hope.
Freaking okay, look at like, I think this is the waterbed scene, right? Like, yeah, you're right. He is so freaking cut, dude.
He's just cut. So, like, look at his, look at how big his biceps are here. And I mean, don't get me wrong. He's still
with him in this.
Do it, please.
That'd be cool.
Views are going to go up. This is going to be a very viewed episode because of that.
But I just want you to, like, Google just, can you right now, Andy, and I know this is a lot for you, and we're at the end of the day here. Can you pull up Chris Hemsworth and replace me with him from Thor 1? I want to see how big he was in that.
Thor, oh, yeah, that's. Probably not at the same time. God, these eyebrows. Oh my God, the facial hair is so bad, y'all. Because they're like some of the first things I see on this Google search are the eyebrows.
It's horrible.
It's like, I don't know if it's like my color temperature on this freaking water, but it is terrible.
Honey wheat, man. They were like, let's go honey wheat. Look how much better it looks in Ragnarok.
Let's go honey wheat.
Honey wheat.
Look at how, like, yeah, look how big he is in that. The picture, right? Look how fucking huge his shoulders and arms are. Anyway, we've sorry everyone, but you know we have to talk about this for at least 15 minutes or just don't feel right.
Well, the show is, man.
Let's go right back into it. Later that night, Thor watches everyone celebrate, but his heart's not in it because he misses dear old Jane. We cut over to London, England, where Jane is on a date with a guy from Bridesmaids, and he's great. And then Darcy interrupts and tells her to start looking at her scientific equipment because it's going wild. Also, Eric went crazy and ran around with his bits and pieces out all over Stonehenge. Jane runs after Darcy, who has an intern now too, and he wears a beanie. His name is Ian. They get to the epicenter of the disturbance and find sea containers stacked the way no human being would stack sea containers. Greg, that was for you.
That's a Ghostbusters reference. Everybody to how the books are stacked in the library. You remember from Ghostbusters interview.
Of course.
Like to keep it real here. Andy, are we keeping it real? What's the real meter say?
are these all references?
It's up against the like.
No, it's a new bit. Me and Nick have been kicking this around in the old archives. The real meter. Only
you have it, Andy. So I need to read on the real meter from Andy. How real are we keeping it?
Real, y'all.
I miss you guys. That was good. That was real good. All right. let's say. Oh, a bunch of kids show Jane what they found. There's been a rift in time and space. Now they can all lift cement trucks and play real life Portal with a bottle. But sometimes objects come back and sometimes they don't. They don't know why.
Like Jane,
yeah, that was funny. Yeah. Jane sees the readout on her gear that matches the same from when she met Thor down in Mexico. And then stupid Ian throws the car keys into the abyss while Jane chases the signal down a spooky hallway and gets sucked into. I don't know what the world is called where King Boar hid the ether, but so I called it the Dark World, but this is definitely not the Dark World. So people, please make that correction in your brain as I read the list.
Middle-earth.
We'll call it Minas Morgul. Is that an okay thing to call it, Andy?
Minas Morgul.
This whole sequence where it's like introducing us to the weird portal gravity stuff, it should be cool. It's really not, and I don't like the way that the kids are like, just putting their hands out and how casually they're just grabbing the things. There's something about this where I was like, it feels low budget. I'm not blaming the kids. It's just the way the effect looks, it doesn't sell to me and it just feels fake. And so it makes all of this like unbelievable to the point that I'm like, I'm not even interested because it's just a bunch of red symbiote goo shit. And it's like, oh, and I guess it has to do with gravity. Like, I'm so caught up in this gravity thing, guys. I'm not going to stop talking about it.
You should.
No, well, I mean, it's got a bunch of stupid stuff like that, right? Where it's like you're talking about with them putting their hands out and stuff getting thrown through and coming back, and then how Natalie Portman and Thor eventually just like walk out of it when they're in the cave and they find the car keys. But then when the birds go through one of the similar holes and they come up from underneath Darcy and Eric Selvig, and they do their best to act it, but the birds are just like cutting through them. But it's like, why didn't you fall into the hole, or why aren't you moving more? Like, why aren't the birds slamming? It's like, whatever.
Fall into the hole.
Fall into the fucking hole, Eric.
Fall into the hole.
that was a Gap reference, everybody. Andy, are we going up or down on the real meter?
Where's the meter, Andy? Roll meter is fucking plummeting.
Oh, man. Thor asks about Jane, but Heimdall has lost. Oh, sorry. We skipped a beat here. Thor leaves the party to go hang out with Heimdall, and these two have really good chemistry. This is one of those things where I want the Heimdall, excuse me, Andy.
Heimdall, thank you.
Thor movie one of these days when they bring him back from the dead. Also, I forgot that Jane went into the dark world area and she comes across the ether. Jesus, God. Terrifying. It's so the eyebrows bad. That really do it. It's if the so eyebrows bad. Weren't so bright, everything else would be fine. Audio listeners, they brought up a picture of Tim.
It's so blonde.
It's so
possibly blonde.
How did we go the whole Thor in review last week and that never came up? I'm impressed. You
know, life's little secrets, okay? Mm-hmm. We can't get them all. Jane got attacked, of course, by the ether at this point, and then now it's inside of her. The attack triggers Malekith to come out of hibernation in space as the convergence is happening again. Anyway, Heimdall tells Thor about the convergence. He's like, it's beautiful. I can see it. And this is such a cool concept where he's like, nobody else really can see this, but I can see it because I see everything. And then Thor's like, yeah, cool. How's Jane? Can we take a look at Jane? And he's like, you know, she's doing okay, man. She's really smart. She sees the convergence too, but she doesn't know what it is. But she's really smart, man. She's figuring out. Oh wait, she's gone. And Thor's like, what? Now's the time to go. Now it's like he's been gone for so long. But when did the Rainbow Bridge get remade? And why would
excellent questions
between this and Ragnarok? They're done. It's a question.
So here's the thing, right? He's like. Oh, we do these battles and then we party for like 3 weeks. You can't take an hour and just go hang out with Jane, like knock on the door, but hey, I just had a couple hours. I just wanted to hang out with you. Like, it's just this dumbest thing ever. We're just like, where have you been? I don't know. The Rainbow Bridge takes what, 5 seconds to go? For, just go every night. What the fuck else are you doing? I don't know. I digress. He's saving the
You understand, man.
I really don't.
Greg, what doesn't he understand?
What do I understand? Definitely not how to keep it real right now, because he's being what shit. I like to call a fucking narc to Thor, all right?
Sub-zero on the real
right now. Yeah, get out of here, Poindexter, all right?
Eventually, Andy, could we get a graphic and or a program made for a real meter so that when people watch us, they can vote on how real we are and see the real meter go up in real time.
I like that. Okay.
We use the YouTube chat for now right now for patreon.com/kindoffunny. Everybody, when you think we're being real, I want you to give a fat five. If it has to say fat five, all right. Hey, when we're not being, when we're going back to Poindexter Town, you give me one, Greg, but it has to be one. I'll watch and I'll call it out. I'll tabulate.
Greg, can you please use the kind of funny Twitter to put up a poll? How on the keeping it real scale, where are we at? Just make one of the options fat five.
Yeah, fat five. I want an one. I want a fat five, and then dealer's choice for number three.
one.
Oh man. Let's see. Jane walks up to the other side of the warehouse. She comes out of the ether or whatever, and it walks out of the other side of the warehouse, and it's raining everywhere but on her. I love that effect. And then Darcy's like, what the heck's going on? And then she just looks over to her left, and this is the first time these two characters have seen each other in a really long time, and there's so many emotions built up into this. Jane loves him, but she feels scorned by him. She feels abandoned. But she still wants to see him, but she's conflicted. But instead of having him come in a moment of heroics, she just looks over to his left, and he's just standing there by a sea container. It's like, okay, I'm going to say this, and I don't want to bring this energy in, Andy, but it's the criticism I had of The Dark Knight, where it's like, really? You just had Batman just kind of over there on the roof? Like, oh, we didn't notice he was over there on the roof.
Oh, gotcha.
Figure out a way to get your fucking characters. This is the first time the two main characters of this movie have seen each other. It should be a moment. And instead they were like, we don't have time, guys.
Well, it is kind of a moment because it's raining, but it's not raining kind of thing. You know what I mean? And like, there's that part of it. Yeah. It's turned Darcy a bit. Like, I'll agree. It's not a fat five. It's not a... Right? Like,
they're trying. They're just normalizing this fucking terminology.
What was that, by the way?
I voted for fat five. All right.
it's It's not what I would call the stereotypical Fat Five. It's not your usual Fat Five.
I also love that Fat's all in caps, like Fat Six. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. Anyway,
that's how it looked in my head. All right.
It's perfect. That's how it looked in my head, too. Anyway, back to it. Jane's like, where the fuck have you been? She walks up, she slaps him, and then she slaps him a bunch.
That's to make sure you're real. Bam. That was for where you've been because it's been so long.
And then she's like, I saw you in New York. You didn't come visit. And he's like, listen,
I was a little busy.
I fought for you and stuff. And she's like, yeah, but you could have taken like five seconds to come back, right? Like you got to New York somehow. Anyway,
you made shawarma.
Yeah, you had time for shawarma. You had time to come. And also, like, oh, it doesn't matter. Jane goes to talk to the cops. When one of the Bobbies tries to mishandle her, she explodes in that ether. And then Thor, the cop's like, hey, man, you got to stop. She just exploded and attacked a bunch of us. And she's dangerous. And Thor looks at the cop and threatens him by saying, I'm dangerous too. You're like,
cool. Okay, Thor. I kind of like, all right? I think I like that line. I think that's pretty badass.
I'm down with it, Andy, but I'm also like, if you look at that, like, would he have said that in Ragnarok? Could we have had a better moment, a more creative moment? That's what I ask. Mm. Could we gone from a one to a Fat Five? That's all I want.
I want to say this right now for in a couple weeks. This. Where in terms of different line reads, where I hope in Thor Love and Thunder, the line where he sees Jane and goes, Jane? I hope that they use a different cut and I hope that it plays better in context. Because every time I see the Thor Love and Thunder trailer, which is often because I did see Top Gun Maverick for the fourth time last night, it always reads weird to me. I don't like it, so I'm hoping they change it. So everyone keep an eye out for keep an ear out. Two of them. There you go.
In your theater, shout, Tim was right, Tim was wrong.
Please.
Thor takes Jane back through the Bifrost over to Asgard, and the ride looks fun. I like this moment. This is a fun moment where she's like just enjoying it. She's not scared at all. And then we cut over to Svartalfheim, where Keith is back. And the final battle was fought, where the final bot was fat, and he's so mad. I guess this is the Dark World. I could have just said the Dark World, but it's called Svartalfheim.
Svartalfheim, or
it's spelled S-V-A-R-T Svartalfheim.
Svartalfheim.
No, there's no H. It's just an F. Svartalfheim. The Asgardian doctors put Jane in the quantum field generator, and she's like, it's a quantum field generator. They're like, no, this is this thing. And she's like, what does it do? So and so?
Soul Forge.
Yeah, it's a quantum field generator. And they find ether in her, which is going to kill her. Odin comes in and is a dick, but he knows who Jane is. And she has that one great line. She goes, you told your dad about me? Which is cute.
Again, another kind of cool thing right there in that little sequence where I just always love how the different backgrounds and different like races and everybody have their own technology, and I love that their tech kind of just looks like floating sand. It looks pretty badass.
Very, very cool. Odin goes to Jane explodes again, and Odin realizes she's got the ether in her, and for whatever reason I put just like that time that Joe Dirt got the poo on him. Remember where he goes, I got the poo on me. You'll remember that, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Classic.
You remember Joe Dirt.
The only line I remember from Joe Dirt is I can see down your shirt. That fucking line ruined his generation.
I guarantee you Nick's seen Joe Dirt in the last 5 days. So many times.
I watched that movie just to feel normal, just to feel right.
Go to Whamburger, get yourself some French fries.
I tweeted this a couple days ago, Andy, but we're just talking, and Nick was just like, yeah, I've been watching Dude, Where's My Car lately.
I saw that.
That's just the funniest way to say that. Like, lately. It's a movie. Like, what do you mean lately?
You gotta slow play it over the span of 5-6 days. You just dip in, dip out. It's like a spot.
You gotta really absorb it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You need to understand it. Let's see. Odin teaches them all about the dark elves and the ether, which Keith made as a weapon. And then Keith stabs his buddy so the guy can come back as the last of the cursed and hide a rage pill inside of his belly like the dude from the Dark Knight. Yeah. And he sneaks into Asgard as a prisoner with a cool mask on. Loki's down there too, of course. Frigga and Loki have a touching scene, but Loki hates his dad. He's not my father. And she says, then am I not your mother? And he says, you're not. And then she goes, always so perceptive about everyone but yourself. Again, Rene Russo, put her in any movie.
Any movie.
20% better. They should
bring her back. You know what I mean? They got all these witches now doing all sorts of shit in Marvel. Get me Renee back, you know?
Hell yeah, dude. Well,
maybe I get a deleted scene that was like Wanda's last thing where she was about to get farted out of existence. But she's like, you know what? Also, to make things better. Renee Russo pops on. Hey! What's up? This is Renee Russo from Lethal Weapon. Because this is Renee Russo. It's not Frigga.
Right. Fox owns it, right?
That's a good point.
There you go.
Let's see. Thor tells Jane how he, Thor tells Jane how he lost her when the borders between worlds blurred due to the convergence. He holds her hand and explains stuff, and they make out. And she goes, I like the way you explain things, and it's nice. And then Thor introduces her to his mom, and we're moving a little fast here, but that's good. The sleeper agent turns into a rage monster and breaks everyone out. Loki gives him a heads up to go out. He's like, oh, if you want to go up there, go up the left stairs if I were you.
Jerk ass.
I mean, again, clearly Loki hasn't seen any of the Spider-Man movies or the subsequent remakes. You don't tell the guy. You don't let him give a pass, man. You got to always stop the guy that's robbing the store.
Correct me if I'm wrong about this, because like I was trying my best to be all in on this movie, but it admittedly was kind of rough. I was surprised that they didn't like bring attention to the fact that Loki kind of sent him to kill his mom. You know, like it was an accident, but that's what happened. And I feel like in the Loki show, they like drove that point home a little bit more.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it was weird to me where I was kind of waiting for the explanation and they never got to it in this one.
I agree. I think it's kind of like we're supposed to kind of understand that maybe in my mind, he sends them over to his mom thinking that at most there'll be an inconvenience to her. As opposed to like just gonna up murder.
I forget. Isn't he sending him to his dad's? He doesn't expect Freya to be there. He expects Odin to be there.
Yeah, he's trying to kill dad. That's what he wants to do. Because he says go up the steps to the left or whatever that is. But I think the implication is that's gonna lead you to the throne room.
There's never a moment in this where he realizes, like, oh, I told him to do that and that caused the death.
That's my
fault. In the Loki show, they act, it's because he watches it, but like they play it as if, oh, he's like, oh, fuck, I did that.
Well, no, I mean, I think it's inferred here, right? Implied here in that he's destroyed because of it, and because he kind of realizes that he could have stopped it, but he didn't.
He doesn't know that it's like his direct action that did it.
Right, but I mean,
it's not as one to one as what you were calling out earlier when Spider-Man let the mugger of the wrestling promotion get out and then discover that he killed Uncle Ben. Right. We're missing that middle section where Uncle Ben goes, Peter, and they understand that that's what killed him, yeah?
Peter.
It's not how it sounds.
Uncle Ben should have fucking stayed out of his way. Give him the fucking car keys, Uncle Ben. What are you doing? Anyway, let's see. Thor tells Jane, yada yada yada.
And I also want to call out this part where the roided up man. There's a sequence where they show the roided up man from kind of a top down view, and there's like four or five Asgardian soldiers on the ground, and all I can think is like, you just had to let him not touch you. You think after he touched one of them and burned him alive and like totally took all the life force out of them, that the other three would, try to not get grabbed as well.
You really don't know what it's like to be a henchman and or just a grunt, you know, and these Asgardian grunts, they're not thinking it through. They know that they've got to stop this. They've got to remember, Odin even says, you know, protect the weapon room at all costs, right? That's all they know. So they're like, you know what? I'll just keep throwing bodies at this until Thor can get here and save the day.
Exactly.
Peter.
We're keeping it. Fat five.
Heimdall spots an invisible elf ship slipping by him and he rips it open, but a bunch more come. And then we see the generic elf masks and they look really bad here. I'm going to say they look like kind of bad cosplay.
This whole sequence right here, the invasion sequence, it to me looks like an Unreal Engine 5 demo.
Mm-hmm.
With like it's also just such a weird contrast of this Middle Earth looking fantasy world with these Star Trek ships, and it just clashes and it feels ugly. Like none of it feels like it takes place in a unified type of world. Like it feels too much like multi-dimensional stuff is happening when it's really not super multi-dimensional in the way that we talk about, you know, different, you know, Into the Spider-Verse type shit with different art styles clashing. This just feels really odd to see this kind of fantasy type world with Asgardian looking as like golden and majestic as it does, and these straight up like not Borg ships, because I know Borg is like our cubes. That's but when cube. I see these ships, I think Borg.
Sure. Yeah. And it's, Borg. It sucks too, because like Nick was just bagging on the Dark Elf masks. Like, I like the masks, but I just think that they do end up looking kind of goofy with the way that they're lit, and like every time we see them, like, they're supposed to be scary and like kind of off-putting with the black eyes, and I feel like they're just not given time to shine in that way, so it just reads wrong. And then these ships are a cool design, like the idea of it kind of going vertical and horizontal to like fit in different things, like all that's cool. But when you see the cockpit, it's just like overly technical in a way that I'm right there with you, Andy. It's like it's just so juxtaposed against the like clean, like elegant Asgard that we're getting, that like it doesn't feel right at all, and it just kind of becomes noise.
Let's see, the ships clash, I lost it there for a second. Heimdall puts a massive shield around the castle, but the rage monster immediately breaks it. Then the ship crashes, and we get the same shot that we had in that Blur Studio Star Wars trailer that everyone was excited about a long time ago.
I remember that one.
Yeah, and then the elves have cool gravity grenades, and that's pretty cool. Keith uses one to destroy Odin's throne just for the spite of it, and then heads to Frigga, and Jane, Frigga gets the better of him, but the rage monsters evens the score. Thankfully, Frigga is a witch and hid Jane. Unfortunately, rage monster stabs Frigga, and then Thor gets there just like a second later. Thor, constantly in this movie, just right out of frame. He uses his lightning to blast Malekith's face off, and then he throws Mew Mew, it goes into the dark world by accident.
Dude, him throwing it and doing the jump, and the camera follows him as it goes out.
Really cool.
Woo!
Pretty cool. We skip pretty quickly to Frigga's funeral here on the Rainbow Bridge, and people throw glowing balls into the sky like paper lanterns. Someone tells Loki, and he throws all of his furniture.
Eric, he's mad.
I like this next part, Eric. We cut over to Eric Selvig, and he's giving a lecture about the alignment, where everything is connected. His gravimetric spikes can stabilize that focal point of the convergence, allowing everything to pass them without harm. Of course, as we pull back, realize he's giving a lecture in a psych ward of a prison, and which includes Stan Lee, another cameo by Stan Lee. Zachary Levi has a really bad wig on. Thor comes to argue with Odin. He wants to take Jane to the dark world where he can destroy pull the ether out of her. And then when Malek wants to take it, he'll destroy it once and for all. And Odin's like, you can't do that. You shouldn't do that. It's a bad idea. And he's like, why? And he's like, oh, because it's an Infinity Stone. You can't destroy an Infinity Stone. And he's like, oh, shit.
But it's like,
does Odin not know what the ether is?
I like how you had him turn into Bob Dylan for a second, too.
Man, it was on.
You shouldn't break the ether.
It didn't do it. It's just weird. It's like I'm gonna go do this plan. And the first thing he should have said was, "Look, I gotta be real with you. I'm pretty sure this thing's an Infinity Stone that, for whatever reason, is just in like particle format. You can't kill these things. You can't blow these things up. Even your lightning can't do it. We gotta figure out something else." But instead, Odin's like, "No, you can't do that. That's a bad idea. I'm gonna put everything in prison and lock everything down."
This conversation and how just stilted and like it all was. The note I wrote down was, there are a handful of DCEU movies that I would happily rather watch than this.
Oof.
And like, I think that that's just kind of, I mean it. Like, I think that like this is the only MCU movie that I'm like, I'm not having fun watching this. Like, there's not enough to like keep me intrigued, even in a, oh, it's so bad it's good, or it's classic or whatever. It's just kind of like, ugh.
I'd rather watch Man of Steel, Shazam.
Easy.
Wait, I thought you liked me. You liked Man of Steel.
I did. That's what I'm saying. He said there's a handful of movies I'd rather watch than this. I would rather watch Man of Steel. Rather watch.
Well, I thought you'd start with like the more controversial one. You know what I mean? Not like one that most people like. Sorry.
I would rather watch Batman v Superman than this.
Of course. Again, I thought we'd start with a controversial one, not one that's good.
Put your fucking shawl on.
You know what it reminds me of? We've talked about this before, but do you guys ever see that skit with John Hamm where he just plays himself, but he's always so cold? He's like, I'm so cold. And he's keep putting sweaters on, and then by the end of the skit, he dies.
God.
He's like, why is it always so damn cold?
That's just a skit that you dreamt up one night.
It might be. Right.
Yeah, we should get John Hamm on the phone.
He went to Mizzou. Let's see. Odin here is kind of unhinged, more so than he was in the previous one. He's obsessed with sacrificing every last Asgardian if it means killing Malekith. Darcy and Ian see naked Eric on TV. Heimdall stops by for a drink with Thor, who asks his friend to help sneak him and Jane out of Asgard. Thor tells him that Keith will return and lay waste to Asgard unless he escapes. And it's like, and then you ask yourself this, you're like, will he? Because why are the Dark Elves so much more powerful than the Asgardians? Didn't he, in fact, in the flashback, and chat, correct me if I'm wrong, because I didn't bother looking this up, but don't they make a note where he's like, he crashed all of his ships into the and sacrificed all of his soldiers to kill as many Asgardians as possible before they stopped Malekith. How many ships could he possibly have left? And why aren't the Asgardians like the baddest people in all the Nine Realms? I don't know.
He can make ships faster than they can make the Ring of Bow Bridge. So that's what it comes down to.
Makes sense. That makes sense. Thor and Loki. Thor tells him all that stuff, and then he enlists the help of Lady Sif and Loki, who is very much worse for the wear. I do like this part where he's fronting at first, and then he's like, drop the axe, and Loki's just like beside himself because he knows
he's great. Up.
It's and so he's good.
Did he step on berries, or is his foot bleeding?
His foot's bloody from all the glass.
Oh. There was grapes there, and I was like, maybe he stepped on berries.
It's possible, but I like to think that he, too, is a massive fan of Die Hard and just likes to put himself through it once a year just to feel something for once.
Remember, berries aren't, I mean, grapes aren't berries.
I mean, you don't know if the grapes are the only thing present. What if there was some raspberries?
I mean, you call out the grapes by name, so I think it was you were the one who was thinking that there was only grapes.
I'm making an inference. I'm seeing grapes, and I'm assuming there's got to be a raspberry in the vicinity somewhere.
Sure, but it's like when you see a pizza and you smell the banana.
No, it's not.
It didn't even get out of his mouth. He was laughing.
The five of a show, boys.
All right.
I don't know if you noticed, Andy. I slacked you. I don't think your job is that hard. I already made a Fat Five t-shirt. It's ready to go for patreon.com. Come on now. Let's go, kids.
Get it out the door. So many people want that. Loki and Thor walk, and they have some walk, and they have some banter, and Loki turns into Captain America, which is a really, really fun cameo. But I'll tell you what, man, the dialogue here, if you go back and listen to it, is rough. I'm going to coin a new term here for the dialogue. I'm going to call it, we spilled the same blood in the same mud.
Yep.
Predator. That's the kind of dialogue.
No, the Rock. Sorry, Rock.
That is the Rock, right? And in that, obviously in the Rock, which is a cheesy, dumb action movie, it fits. But my point is, it's so fucking cliche. Everything they say back and forth to each other, you can guess what they're going to say next. It's just boring. And that's what all this back and forth is here, especially on the boat. When they get to the boat where they argue, it's like, God, I've heard this dialogue so many times. It's just really unfortunate, and it bogs it down.
I mean, dude, the whole boat sequence, and I think this is where this is, where we get Idris Elba just like running, just jumping on this thing. It's like, it's so unclear what his goal is and what's happening. Like, we're watching this and we're like, okay, he can see everything. There's invisible ships. He can't see them, but he heard them and he knows it's there. Right. And then he just takes off.
Right.
I was like, I've seen this movie multiple times. I don't know what he's about to do. And he starts running up. I'm like, is he really just going to jump off onto the show? Oh, yeah, that's what his plan was. That's fucking weird.
It's also weird because you're like, is he really just the only like guard they have? Like, I mean, there's no disrespect to Heimdall, but like, he can't be everywhere at once. What if they attack Asgard from the other, from like the backside?
From the other bridge.
Yeah, another bridge back there? I don't know. They do another thing here that I want to call out, and it's my least favorite thing that people do in heist movies. Or editors doing heist movies. I don't like when they have the people sitting around the table explaining the plan that you're then seeing. To me, it is lazy. It's boring. It just smacks with, we didn't have enough time and enough budget to really put these, like, to show them breaking out of this thing. And it just kind of deflates a lot of the tension for me. And by that, I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? Where they're like sitting around the table, like, but here's what we're going to do. Step one, we break Loki out. And then you're seeing that happening in real time as it's happening. I just don't like that.
I kind of like that stuff. It reminds you like Ocean's 11, like kind of stuff.
Yeah, but in Ocean's 11, then then you get to see the thing eventually, right? And then they, you know, at some point they pull the heist. I don't know. You're right. It can be done well. I just didn't like it in this one.
I think the only clever part of it is them talking about Loki and how he's going to handle it and being like, won't he stab you in the back? Won't he fucking whatever? And then you see it happen kind of like in real time. And you know, oh, yeah, that's what he was planning to do. So like, and then it cuts back to Thor being like, he will. And I think that there's some comedic value there. Not a whole lot, though. Like,
right.
I'm talking like a small minuscule amount.
They free Jane and take her out of Asgard on the downed elf ship that's in the throne room. And this is not a fun scene, but luckily it goes by very slowly. They smash into everything Loki gives Thor's ship, but it turns out that was the plan. Create a distraction and sneak out on a smaller ship so Loki could show him the secret passageway, which it turns out just in a giant hole in the rock right in forward that no one in Asgard has ever thought to explore. Fandral's hair is terrible here. I'll just say it. I'm glad somebody did.
I appreciate your honesty. I think, Andy, if we can check the keep in a real meter, I do think that is a 5-5.
I think it just went up.
It's skewing pretty high, yeah.
Thank you. Loki steers them through the passage, and they crash in the Dark World. Loki and Thor argue about who caused their mother's death. Spoilers, it was Loki. And he says, I wish I could trust you. And Loki says, trust my rage. And it's like, no, don't say that.
No, he won't do it.
Darcy and Ian break Eric out of
sight. Well, yeah, that was horrible.
Yeah, it was bad.
Like that whole scene, one of the worst lines in the entire MCU, and like they did like, it so seriously.
Trust me, if like Banner had said that, I'd be like, all right, we're getting there because he's a rage monster, right? We've called him that before, but even that's fucking bad writing.
Yeah, Darcy, and it wasn't even fun. Like in the last movie, in Thor 1, where he goes, ha ha, and it stabs him.
Yeah,
hey, I love that.
The interns break Eric out of the slammer and gather his rods.
I picture Loki being like 3.5 feet tall on that bridge going, ooh.
Loki, Jane, and Thor sneak up on Malekith, whose face is all gross now. Thor lets Loki out of his handcuffs and immediately gets stabbed for his efforts. Thor reaches for his hammer, but Loki cuts his hand off before he can wield it. And then the rage monster translates for Loki, and Malekith welcomes him with open arms. He's like, oh, this guy's great. Keith pulls the ether out of Jane, and then spoilers, Thor and Loki were faking it. They were in cahoots the whole time. His hand's not really there. It was just magic. And he grabs Mew Mew and tries to explode the ether. Double spoilers. The ether cannot be destroyed and comes back to make Malekith a dark elf, an even darker elf than he was before.
This is a perfect example of something I say a lot on these reviews, where just what you just said, reading the plot, it's actually pretty cool. But the way they show it, I feel like the pacing of the Loki turns and the Loki tricks and stuff is so weirdly kind of paced, where it's like so slow and then all of a sudden everything's happening so fast and like, oh, but we can't do the ether, oh, but we can't do this, like everything's moving and you're like, yo dude, like if you just took the time to allow what happened in 30 seconds to happen over 10 minutes, I think every moment would have hit a lot harder, because the reveal that like Loki betrayed them, it's like, oh, it's a bummer. That's like, oh, he didn't actually, it was part of the plan. I'm like, this is pretty damn cool, but it's just, it's too much too fast. And when you're facing off against just noise of Keith, it's not really fun.
Come on Keith. Loki almost gets sucked into a black hole grenade, but Thor saves him. Then Thor squares off against a rage monster, and Loki fights three bad cosplayers while Keith makes his escape. Thor gets pounded into the ground, but Loki saves him and gets stabbed through the heart. But Loki is the ultimate trickster and planted a bomb on the rage monster, and it kills him. And then Loki dies in Thor's arms, and it's kind of supposed to be a touching scene. Or does he? ? Jane knows Keith's plan. He's gonna unleash the ether on Earth, because that's where he's got to do it for the maximum effect of turning the whole universe into darkness. But they can't get to Earth because they're trapped in the Dark World until Richard calls. Poor stupid Richard. You're funny, but let me tell you, Richard, funny people don't stand a chance against men with a massive thrust bucket. Jane finds her keys in the cave, and she realizes, oh my god, this must be where all this stuff goes. Clearly, if we just follow this linear path, that'll lead us right back to the warehouse, right? That makes sense. Thor asks the obvious question, why are there so many shoes here? It's like, that part got a laugh out of me. He's like, why are there so many shoes? And they head back to Jane's, back to reality, where the car is there because she has the keys now. It's all spray painted and stuff. And they go back to her house, where Thor promptly hangs his hammer on the coat rack. And I know Tim probably has a little piece of trivia here, but that was an improv scene, right? Where
yeah.
He walked in and just was screwing around, and they decided to keep it in.
It's really good.
Pretty funny. Where was I in my stupid script, Greg? Say something funny right now. Cover
Listen,
for me.
Here's what you all need to know about Thor in the coat rack, right? He'll hang stuff up there, and that was an ad-lib scene. So that's a fat five on the keeping it real. So. Okay.
An Asgardian soldier returns from the Dark World and tells Odin that Loki is dead. Back at Jane's house, they sort through
the And then he does the little Loki smile, and you're like, oh, that's probably Loki.
Yeah.
Yeah, if he does a smile with a little tongue sticking out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a devil. He's not moving his tongue though, Nick. Why are you moving like your this. Tongue? Then?
It's in an alternate cut.
It's not. It really isn't.
Shake that lofty toffee, Nick.
That's right. Greg missed that one last
Greg
week.
Missed that one. Thank God.
Yeah.
Back at Jane's house, they sort through. I'm pretty sure I made that joke the first time we did this, but it doesn't matter. Back at Jane's house, they sort through all the various times in history the convergence has happened, and they're like, we could use all these points to triangulate where Keith's going to this place. I'm like, that makes no sense, but whatever, fine. And guess what? Thank God. It's in Greenwich, England, right next to where they are down the road. Darcy tells Ian to hammer in all of Eric's rods around the convergence site while Keith's invisible jet lands. Thor and Keith face off.
He's got an F-16.
It just is what it is. Thor and Keith face off while Jane plays with her new Steam Deck. Malekith hits very softly, I guess. So Thor shoves Mew Mew up his Asgard.
God.
I gotta read ahead.
Was it worth it? Like, was that all worth it, Nick?
No.
And I did the dark world thing, man. Like, I set us up for failure, and somehow you were just like, I'm just gonna fucking drive it off the cliff.
You know, he's gotta drive it deeper. He's gotta go deeper.
There you go. I will say, I still love the sound of Mew Mew flying through the air. I think I love that. Like, woo, woo. Jane figures out how to use the gravitational fields to move enemies around the field of battle. Thor and Malekith end up on the Dark World, but when Thor throws Mjolnir, it pops back through Earth, and then it takes
so
off.
So cool!
It was fucking the coolest thing ever.
Love just it reversing and all that stuff. Such a great idea.
A Rancor pops out from nowhere, probably from a Star Wars film. I don't know if they own
it. No, we go back to the Frost Giant planet.
Oh, right,
the first that's movie, the big, and that's the big the dark thing that had the cool ass run scene where he was running on the upside down bottom part.
Yeah,
our little homie's back.
Very cool
Easter egg. There's the sequence in this where he's falling down. I think it's right after this, maybe. And we see Thor kind of in a free fall, and he's calling Mjolnir towards him. And there's a kind of like there's too much movement on screen. It's kind of hard to exactly see what happens, but the hammer doesn't catch him because he disappears. But it's hard to see that he disappears and falls into another kind of tunnel or whatever the hell, because the hammer just goes up, and I was like, is the hammer supposed to be saving him? Because he's not there. And then I kind of had to rewind and kind of verify what I saw. And I think a lot of these sequences are really cool, but kind of visually tough to read in some areas.
Well, I also love that in the middle of this really intense fight where they're kind of getting pushed through different realms and all this stuff, there's just do the one cut where they both fall on the building against the glass, and it is a very Taika Waititi like comedy style thing. Like, do you guys know what I'm talking about? It's just come slide down a little. It's like the fact that Thor did it, I can kind of buy. But the fact that Keith also was like goofy looking, like sliding, I'm like, this is weird.
So we also get the moment too where they wind up in the subway, and he has these like, how many stops until that station? Yada yada yada. It's just like three. He's like, all right, cool.
I expected Keith to look in and be like, so it's not Casual Friday, huh? Or like some little joke like that.
Mondays, am I right?
Let's see. Keith, meanwhile, outside the realms of line, the convergence is upon us. Keith explodes in ether and everything goes red. It's really big. Thor has to take some spikes and throw them into him, disappearing parts of him into the dark world. Then Thor uses Mjolnir to knock Keith back into his ship, and Jane transports him right at that same time back into the dark world. Thor gets knocked out and Jane hugs him while Malekith's ship falls on them, which Eric transports back to the dark world so it can fall right on Keith, killing him. Later, everyone has I don't know where the ether goes here, but I guess the ether just disappears someplace. Later, everyone has breakfast together, but Thor isn't there because he has to figure out some shit with dear old dad, who's proud of him and wants to make him king. But Thor's like, you know what? I just want my life back. I just want to go. I want my gap year. I want to go travel.
I'd rather be a good dude than a god or some shit.
Right.
Said something like that. I don't know if it's word for word. But,
good dude. Yeah, that was the core. Yeah. I'm about to
be a good dude. He doesn't want to be a rad guy. He wants to be a bad guy.
Yeah.
CG here is really bad. I mean, it's like After Effects 1.0. Fucking terrible green screen. Thor offers Mjolnir back to Odin. He was like, this is not mine. Of course, Odin can't take it, because if he did, it would fall right to the ground. So he tells his son, no, the hammer belongs to you. Should you be worthy? And then he wishes Thor good luck. It's a touching scene, but only spoilers. Odin is Loki. And he goes the thing.
I'm Loki.
The end. And then we get the mid-credit scene with the Collector. Lady Sif and Volstagg give the collector the ether. And I'll tell you what, this scene looks like it's ripped straight out of a TV show. It's lit so poorly. It doesn't look like it fits in any of this stuff. It's clearly tagged on, and I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't the same team that shot this, if it was like a totally different thing, happened at a totally different time, because it just looks bad.
I'm pretty sure this was James Gunn that did this. Because I know a lot of the post-credit things,
apologize damn, right now.
They're shot by the next movie that they're in or whatever. Well, but yeah,
it's not good. It didn't look good. Not James Gunn's best work, I'll say that.
Yeah, I agree with you. It didn't look great. I did think it was a fun scene, though, overall. This being the intro to the Collector, such a weird character. Like, I think this was kind of a fun post-credit reveal, especially for back then, where it's like, oh, shit, like, what's going on here? What is this guy's deal? And it seemed like he was trying to collect all the stones, because he ends it being like, one down, five to go, or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, it's kind of nifty.
And of course, we get the line.
I've said nifty on every piece of content I was in this last week. I don't know if you noticed that.
This is, again, what we were talking about. I think they're kind of future-proofing. They're just like, all right, we don't know exactly what we're doing and what these things will be and how it's going to work, but we'll just, you know, put it all out there.
Then we get he talks about how he's like, why don't you keep it the vault at Asgard? Is like, it's not smart to keep two Infinity Stones so close. We have the Tesseract, that's an Infinity Stone too. And then the end credit scene, and then Thor comes over for breakfast, and the Rancor, and they make out, and the Rancor chases some birds, and that's the end. And then it says Thor will return, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is Thor the dark world.
Andy, if you could bring up the rankings again, I know we already did. But just to reiterate, yeah, this is last, you know, and like it's 34 out of 34 currently. My question to you guys.
Yeah.
Do you think we will ever get something that goes below this?
Wow.
Because I don't think it's possible given the current trajectory of the MCU. I think things would have to get really bad, because I think that if things like Eternals that were in a lot of cases, I would say a swing and a miss, right? Maybe not like the world's biggest trash fire, but it was a miss compared to what it could have been. And that was like something different. If that ended up being 29, I just don't see something being 35 on this list.
Yeah, I don't know if there is something that bad. I don't know if it gets by Feige or like.
Yeah, it just gets that far off track.
He had to be on vacation or something. To be like, I didn't okay this. What the, you all put that shit out there? You know, like, I don't see that happening.
I mean, it's what's weirder to me is that, like, the difference, like, our list is 33 Thor, 34 Thor Dark World, and that difference is so wide. Like, Thor is so much better than this movie in so many different little tiny ways. Yeah, I don't think we ever get anything worse than this. Period.
Yeah,
unless,
because again, like, yeah, really, it's like, you look at where we are with it, right? And it's, again, like we've talked about, like, it's just uninspired. Like, I'd rather see swings and misses and be like, that was an interesting idea they just didn't capitalize on, than this textbook follow up superhero movie.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like you want to see the, you want to be like, oh, what's Sam Raimi going to be like if he comes back and does Multiverse of Madness? And a lot of people liked it, and myself was like, I was like, hey, didn't quite work for me, but I can still see the merit and the value in that. But this one was just like,
yeah,
it's stinky.
Watching this really reminds me of all of the fake sequels in 21 Jump Street. Like, this just feels like a kind of a cash grab because we need a second Thor movie because it was under contract or whatever. Just not a very good movie.
Yeah. Andy, hit me with the haiku and review, please.
Seven syllables in the middle. You need five for the first and last line. If it's not poetic, no need to fret it. Haikus don't need to rhyme. Haiku in review. Haiku in review. Nope.
A nice little acoustic version. Pretty fun. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to write your review in haiku form, just like Neo Nugget did. Ew. Were they born in labs or the heart of a dead star? Holy fuck, his abs.
Wow, yes, that's a rest. That was really good. Wow, that's a damn good. I'd put that at the end of the day. Top five.
Top five, baby. It's a top five. Cozy Bear says, Loki is so based. The Dark Elves are a disgrace. Mew Mew goes to space.
Mew Mew.
And Mr. Hawks 182 says, Malekith was bad. Jane Foster was the ether. I was very bored. A lot of facts there. There was a lot of facts there, yeah. Mr. Hawks. Thank you for that.
Accurate.
Yeah, exactly. I guess that's it. You know, I feel like Ragu Bagu, yeah, he's last. These fucks from Thor 2. Man, and they remain there for these damn sure. These
are forever the fucks from Thor 2. What was Greg about to do off camera?
Yeah, what was he
going to
do?
He said, I guess that was it. My joke was just, I was peacing out. But that would be keeping it real. That'd be definitely.
I thought your newest robe got delivered.
So
you wish you could be this cozy. You know what I mean?
Fuck yeah, I do, dude.
Fuck. You're somebody ruled by style, Nick. You worry about what the trends are. You worry about what the comments are going to say about your hair, your Batman shirt. Not me.
Pants. Yeah.
I haven't been wearing a belt this whole show.
Wow.
You wouldn't be able to leave the fucking house like this, but here I am, surrounded naked by my filth, and I'm happy.
Surrounded by myself.
Filth. We are no, done filth. Now. Same thing. We're done with Thor. We're done with Thor Dark World. Next week, we are going to be doing Thor Ragnarok, and then the week after that will be Thor Love and Thunder. Whole bunch of things in between. Really exciting stuff. And then we will return to MCU rewatches leading into She-Hulk, where we're going to rewatch Hulk and see if Andy can finally get what he wants. Which, not that the list is going to get re-ranked, just maybe some justification from us. You know what I mean? Like feeling validated at all for his thoughts. But maybe not. Maybe not, but stay tuned for that later. The fun thing about these rewatches right now is I feel like we're rewatching all the bad ones, getting them out of the way. Then we're not going to have to rewatch them for maybe ever.
At least a year.
But yeah, at least a year. Anyway, let us know in the comments below what you thought of Thor the Dark World. Say something nice about it. What's your favorite thing about this movie?
That's the challenge, yeah.
That is the challenge. Get it out there. Have a marvelous day, everybody. Till next time. There you go.